If you are the guy who rolls up to the RV dump station in flip-flops without gloves and are shaking your trailer like an angry bear on the hood of a car, this episode is for you. Welcome to episode number 2 of the RV Connects podcast. And in a move which should surprise absolutely no one who knows our sense of humor, we have dedicated episode number 2 to the number 2, the 10-200, or more specifically, maintaining your black water system while camping, which will help you literally avoid a mountain of problems. If you are new to the podcast or just following along, please take a moment and rate our show on Apple and leave us a comment. We love the written comments with some questions, topic advice, anything you'd like to hear coming from us. We would love to have that feedback. Also, you can follow along on our journeys on Instagram at RV Connects. So on episode 2, we are going to tell you what our own mistakes have taught us about tank maintenance and toilet paper. We're going to cover basics of tank sensors, go over dump station etiquette, including how to find a dump station while boondocking or staying at an off-grid property. And we're going to give you some of our favorite products that we use in our own rig to keep our tank healthy and happy. And stay tuned at the end of the episode for our campground review of last week's trip to Selkirk Provincial Park. As Dan says, when we were planning this episode, blackwater issues are a perfectly good way to ruin a weekend, and we know that firsthand. So maybe Dan can tell us a little bit about the beginnings of our tank problems and what we did to rectify them.
Yeah, I think it really, when we go for an RV trip or we go camping, we all tend to get excited about the destination. We think about RVs, we think about the glamorous side, we think about the fancy lawn chairs, the barbecue, the recipes, the awnings, the drinks. We think about all the fun stuff that makes us enjoy a week away, a weekend away, or a couple of weeks on the road. But we often forget is that at the end of all of that, there needs to be a bit of a cleanup. And that cleanup is not always the most glamorous part of the trip. With all that being said, it can certainly derail a trip and make the ride home a lot more stressful. So for us, we ventured outside on a bit of a longer trip. We traveled to Letchworth State Park in New York State. USA Today calls it the Grand Canyon of the East Coast, and we had a wonderful time. But at the end of that trip, we began to dump the blackwater tanks, and the blackwater didn't come out. And so when we thought about this, we realized what had happened is a couple of weeks before, kids had had some friends around the trailer. We'd been camping. Those kids, not familiar with RVs, had come in and used a ton of toilet paper, and it had all gone down the tank. And when we dumped, we didn't realize that all of that toilet paper didn't come out. So by the time that we get to Letchworth State Park 2 or 3 weeks later, all of that toilet paper has hardened inside the blackwater tank. And so what happened, and pardon the pun, my mom is listening, so I'll use clean language, there was poop everywhere by the end of this story. So what happened is we dumped the tanks, a little bit of water came out, but we realized pretty quickly that not everything had come out. And so we tried everything we could to clear the blockage. We tried to stir it around from the top side from the toilet. We tried to drive around the park and maybe loosen it up a little bit. What ended up happening is with my father-in-law and the hose connected at the gate valve, we had to fill the blackwater tank up from the outside, which took a little bit of doing, dump the whole tank again. In the process, you can imagine things don't connect well. Tempers are a little bit elevated. Toilet paper flies out because there's that big mound of toilet paper in there. It's all over the dumping station pad. And so that's really where I think we started to realize that paying attention to your black water is incredibly important and can make your trip go smoother.
Absolutely. I think it's important to note by this point, we were at this dump station for probably the better part of an hour, if not an hour. And in provincial parks and state parks and whatnot, where there might not be a ton of available dumping stations, we were just very lucky that we were leaving on an off weekend day. It wasn't a long weekend where you get typical very long lineups and people who just want to get the dump done and get out of the park. So luckily we had a bit of privacy while we tried to work out this problem, but it's certainly something that was a learning experience for us to really get to know our tank system a little bit better and to make sure, because we were new to RVing at that time, what to do in the future to avoid it. So I guess that brings us to the ongoing tank maintenance. So when we talk about sensors and what sort of treatments to put down your tank and the ongoing debate in the RV community on toilet paper, whether you put it down, whether you don't, what type do you use, all of that stuff. So Dan, do you want to talk about some of those treatments and some of the things we've learned since that day at Letchworth?
Yeah, so what we do is when we end up the weekend and we're back home, there is a Camco makes a sanitization package or satchel, really, the small little 2-inch by 2-inch pod that you throw down the toilet. And so when we get home at the end of the weekend, we go into the trailer, we throw the satchel down, instructions are on the back, you dump about a gallon of water down, and then you leave it. And I think what we've learned over the last 2 or 3 years is that really means that there is no smell in the trailer by the next time that we come to use the trailer. Once we arrive at our next destination on our next trip, we do the same thing. We throw a satchel down from the Camco package. We dump about a gallon of water down there, and that really helps break down solids that are in there, helps keep the smell down. Just, it's the first step in helping everything move through the system correctly. It helps keep the freight trains on time, I like to say. I think there's a couple other treatments that Melina wants to talk about as well.
Yeah, so there's really no shortage of treatments on the market of what to use, what not to use. There's hot debates on what's worked for people. One of those is if you have problems or things aren't flushing properly or your sensors aren't working properly, then dump a bunch of ice down there and go for a drive, and that should slosh it around and empty it out. Some people swear by it. I can attest we have tried it. It did not work for us. I do know there is a YouTube video out there that kind of debunks it, which you can just do a basic internet search for. Somebody did recreate that with a clear tank and simulated sewage. So I don't know that that is the most effective, particularly if you're in a situation where you can't just dump a bunch of ice and go for a drive, because that is a lot of work to unhook and hitch up and hit the road. We recently have discovered a lot of fans of the Geo method, and that works not so much for odor, but I think for certainly sensor issues. And that's kind of a mixture of powdered Calgon or any powdered water softener, laundry detergent, plenty of water. There's a couple of variations where people add borax or bleach. I don't know that I would be adding bleach necessarily, because you do have some good bacteria in that tank that you want to help break down the matter that's in the tank. But we have decided that we are going to give the Geo method a try when we go for our late August trip up to the shores of Lake Huron. So we will report back on that. And in doing research, I have discovered a product called Happy Camper, and this is a Canadian company out of Alberta, which we love to see. And the reviews on this product are actually incredible. Rave reviews. They do have a money back guarantee, and it's a more organic product that will not only break down the matter in your tank, but it will eliminate odors, not just mask them. And the claim that I've seen from the product website is that there isn't any odor even when you dump the tank. So we are going to order some of the Happy Camper, and we're going to give that a try also. So on a future episode in the not too distant future, we're going to have a full review on both the Geo method and the Happy Camper product. And as we talk about sensors, maybe Dan can dive into that a little bit, but RV sensors are notoriously, I guess, finicky would be the word. We just know with our trailer, it has said 1/3 when the tank is, you know, bone dry since we bought the trailer. And we just know that 1/3 for us means empty. And that might mean something different for somebody else, but really knowing your tank is probably the key, more so than the sensors, into how to maintain it and to know when those levels need to be emptied.
Yeah, I think you'll start to learn over time how much water your family goes through, how much they use the toilet. I think one of the important things to remember that when you're going to dump your black water, you want that black water tank to be full. So if you're the kind of person who says, hey, maybe try avoid using the washroom, use the campground washroom, I would suggest to you, you know, based on your own family's experience, you want to make sure that you get that toilet filled up before you do a dump. But maybe the easiest way to talk about this is just talk about the way that I go through it and the solutions that I've found to make sure that everything flows through smoothly for us. So the process for me actually begins when we arrive at the campground. So we check in, we fill up on fresh water, we get to our site. One of the things that I do during the weekend, and it maybe it's when I fill up with fresh water, if fresh water is located right near the dump station, or maybe it's the next day or at some point during the trip, I might be out for a walk, I might be going to get rid of the garbage, I might ride my bike through. I go and take a look at the dump station and see what the setup is. You will find at some dump stations, you only have one opportunity. There's just one station with a simple hose, and that's what you have to use. But you may go there and find out that there are connections to let you use a black water flush out. And so Blackwater Flushout is a feature some trailers have where you connect a garden hose from the dump station to your trailer. And then once you've dumped your water, you open your gate valve and you run fresh water through your black water tank to flush out any residual matter or items that are inside the tank. But what I like to do is go there at some point before the trip so I know which lane I need to line up into, what does it look like in terms of space, is it going to be tight to turn? All of those kind of things begin to set the right conditions so that you have a stress-free experience at the station.
And when Dan talks about the RV dump stations, if you have multiple RV stations to choose from, you might see one that has a proper hose connector at the end that you could attach to the Blackwater flush out, which is on the side of our trailer. It's actually installed inside the trailer, and it kind of works a little bit like a dishwasher would, where you kind of have a wand spinning around inside your tank to help clean out the walls and the sensors and whatnot. But the dump station one over, somebody might have cut off the hose connector at some point and there's nothing there. So we certainly choose our lane and we choose it wisely. And even on a long weekend, you know, don't be afraid. I would say if you know the lane you want to stick to, and there's certainly room to wave people around you, people are never going to complain about you waving them ahead of you in line. So if we're waiting for a particular station, we have no problem just chilling out and waiting for the line that we want.
Yep. And so a couple other things that I do, I keep all of the fresh water accessories, so the filters and the hoses that I use to connect to the city water, I keep that on one side of the trailer. And on the other side of the trailer storage, I keep all the elbows and a dedicated garden hose just for the black water side on the other side of the trailer, along with the gloves. And never shall the two meet, just to make sure that the clean water hose stays clean and the dirty water hose keeps its germs to itself.
Which seems like pretty common sense advice, but when I mentioned at the beginning of the episode approaching the RV dump station in your flip-flops without gloves and shaking your trailer, we have literally seen that. I can't even tell you how many times when we watch people dump, and it just kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies thinking about what they are traipsing back into their truck with. So super important for the health and safety of your family to make sure that those items always remain separate.
Yeah. So when we arrive up to the dump station, I pull up. I think the first thing that everybody should make sure is, out of a courtesy to everyone else, make sure that you're organized. Know where your stuff is. Have your gloves ready inside the storage compartment if that's where you're going to keep them, so that you're not wasting any time. With all of that being said, don't rush yourself. Take your time that you need to flush. Just because somebody's waiting to pull in behind you does not mean that, you know, you should feel compelled to rush the process along. So once you've connected up your pipes to your trailer and you're ready to go, one of the things that I use is a clear elbow. I connect the clear elbow to the trailer. I connect the hose to the clear elbow and the hose to another elbow that goes into the dump tank. The reason that the clear elbow is so important is it lets you know everything that's coming out of your trailer. You will get to know the health of your family and the health of your trailer through that clear elbow. But if you think back to the story at the beginning when we said a whole bunch of toilet paper had gone down, with a clear elbow, if you know that some kid has come in and flushed something down at the trailer toilet that they shouldn't, if you don't see it come out the other end, then you know there's something that you need to think about and you need to take a look at. It also helps you let you know when everything is out. And so that's a whole lot easier than maybe just having to disconnect for a quick peek. You can see everything rush right through that.
And I would say, as an RVer, there's probably nothing more satisfying at the end of a trip than seeing that water run clear out of the elbow and knowing you have everything taken care of.
Absolutely. It brings me a lot of joy and it's probably saved the marriage.
And I will tell you, you know, when Dan brings up the point of being organized and having all of these tools, like, we've even been approached in the RV dump line from people who are waiting behind us to ask us questions like how to do it. And, you know, this is something we experience a lot with friends, family, people who are brand new. They've just bought a trailer and I don't know what to chalk it up to. I guess they're just not getting the proper walkthroughs when they pick up their unit, or maybe they're buying it used and they really don't get a lot of that information from the seller of the unit. But, you know, it's kind of one of these things that happens a lot, which is why we made this one of our early episodes where it's mentioned in hushed tones around the campfire with a beer in hand about how to manage some of these things. So even an internet search or any Facebook trailer groups you belong to, like, it is a hotly debated subject. There are a lot of very passionate stances on all sides of the issue. And you know what? That's okay. All I can tell you is what has worked for our family. The systems and routines that we've set up that keeps our personal tank healthy and happy and keeps everything moving. You'll certainly find that there are people who put all the toilet paper down their black water system. There are those who put absolutely not even one single square. And there are those that sit somewhere in the middle, as well as those who have opinions on whether to use specific RV or marine toilet paper versus regular residential toilet paper. And what we found in our family that works for us is if you are going number one, then the toilet paper goes into a trash can. And we have a trash can in the bathroom. It has a lid on it. It definitely keeps the smell away. We don't have any issues with odor in the bathroom, but we do allow if you do a number two, that you can put that toilet paper down into the black water system. But by that point, there's enough treatment and liquid and pressure from a full tank to flush everything out. In certain situations where we are boondocking, where we might not have the ability to flush out the tank, we will have a number two paper goes in can rule as well. This just comes down to the best treatment being prevention, right? And we just kind of know our situation and adapt to that. We do use RV toilet paper. It is definitely not the most comfortable. We have three females in the trailer, so we do go through a lot of toilet paper. But, you know, the residential, I just don't want to have, if we have guests in the trailer, we're going to end up having issues when a lot of that goes down there. And, you know, you may have comments. You might have found a residential brand that is both comfortable and works to break down in an RV trailer. I haven't done any scientific experiments to check the viability of different brands of toilet paper. But certainly, if you have an opinion, a very strong opinion, leave us a comment. Send us a message on Instagram at RV Connects. Leave a comment on our show notes on our blog at rvconnects.com and let us know, because that's something we can definitely address in a future episode, maybe when we review some of those tank treatments we're going to try out. So that is my personal interjection on the great toilet paper debate, and definitely let us know your comments. We'd love to hear them. So I guess we can get in specifics about how to dump at the site, even if you have full hookups.
Yeah. So when I'm at the dump station, couple things to remember. I dump the black water first. Once the black water is dumped, if I have a black water flush out, I then connect the garden hose to the black water flush out properly, follow the instructions, and I flush out the black water. When that begins to run clear and it's completely drained itself, I turn that system off and then I dump the gray water. The reason you dump your gray water second is that you're using all of your shower water and your dish water to flush out all the poop out of your hose. So that at the end of this experience, you're only really cleaning out the gray water, which is, you know, the soap and the dishwater and those kind of things, which is marginally more clean than the black water. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing to remember. When you dump your black water, make sure that that tank is completely full. So if you haven't filled the tank on that weekend, don't be afraid to use a jug to add more water to it. Don't be afraid to let the remaining water that's in your freshwater tank, use that to fill up the toilet. But having a full tank is really important to get all the pressure that you need to take all the items that are down there and just suck them right out the tank. So that's what happens at the dump station. If I'm dumping at a full hookup site, you can leave everything connected up the way that you normally would, but leave your black water tank closed.
And your gray water gate valves closed.
Leave them both closed because you want a full tank to flush out. So what happens is if you leave those tanks open, if a solid matter goes down there, it will sit on the bottom of the tank and the liquid will go out, but the solid won't. And over time, that will accumulate a ton of solid matter in your tank, which is going to diminish the capacity. It's going to get into the sensors. It's going to create blockages and stoppages. So in order to avoid that, it doesn't take very much time to go out there on whatever day that you reach capacity on your black water tank and completely dump it. So that's the way that you hook up on a site with full services. Just don't leave it open because you're just going to accumulate matter in there as well. If you don't have full hookups, one of the things that we use to let us use the full services of the trailer and really been especially important in, you know, COVID-19, when you're trying to avoid going to the comfort station, is we have a honey wagon, a lugaloo, basically a little plastic trailer that you hook up underneath the holding tanks. You dump in the same way that you normally would. You hook it up to the bumper of your trailer and then you just drive that small little
bumper of your truck.
Pardon me, the bumper of your truck, and you take it down to the dump station and you empty that out, and then that lets you use your black water and your gray water all over again. So I think that has been one of the devices or one of the pieces of equipment that we find really useful to get full use out of the trailer.
Absolutely. So how about dumping when you're boondocking or if you're staying at a friend's farm or, you know, otherwise staying off grid?
Yep. So there's a few places that you can go to. If you're staying off grid, you could look up your local municipality or municipality along the way. Sometimes they have dumping stations. Sometimes you will find truck stops like Flying J's have dumping stations. Not all of them do, but some of them do. A private campground might be more than willing to collect a small nominal fee and let you dump. Provincial parks will let you come in and dump for just the day use fee. So there's a lot of different options out there to dump. And I think you have a couple more ideas.
Definitely apps, and tune in to next week's episode when we actually talk about our favorite RV apps. But one of the ones on the market is the Allstays Camp and RV app. And there is one specifically at a lower cost. The Allstays app does have a fee, and we're going to talk next week about some great free options as far as apps as well. But Allstays does have the RV Dumps app. It's $3.99 Canadian on the App Store. And that you can just pull up a map, pull up your location, and filter out by dump stations, and it will show you any known dump stations that are around. I'm assuming there's probably more results now that I've looked into the app in the States, but certainly I did pull it up for our area in Ontario, and there was a fair amount of selections as well. I do believe the odd en route rest stops that are on the 400 series highways may have dump stations as well, but that's something to check into before you leave. But certainly the municipal waste facility that's just a couple of kilometers from our home is somewhere that you can dump for a very small fee. So usually we'll hit up that station if we're staying off grid. But there are options out there, so you don't have to let your trailer sit with waste in its tank for Lord knows how long until the next time you use it. Or even if you're at home and you've diagnosed an issue with your sensors or your tank, you can really fill it up, clean it up, let it sit, and then you know you have an option near you to dump. So that's something, you know, just for ongoing maintenance as well, that's helpful to know.
And that's another thing, you can do that geo method, or you can do a bit of a clean out at home, and then when you arrive at your next destination, you can dump as soon as you get there. There's nothing that says you can't dump when you arrive and then go straight to your site and get set up. But folks, do me a favor, please wear disposable gloves.
Mm-hmm.
If your gloves are like those mechanics gloves with rubber on one side and mesh on the other, that lets water in. That's not a good idea. So please use disposable gloves. And please use closed toe shoes, because it doesn't matter how clean and sanitary and safe you think you are, there's always some kind of
splashback
or spray. So listen, don't be that guy that wears flip-flops at the dump station.
And recently we were asked to write a blog post for the Campsite Canada website, where we listed our top 10 RV essentials for RVers. And 3 to 4 of those items on that list of 10 were all to do with black water. So very, very important issue. If you're interested in reading that post, you can go to campsite-canada.com and have a look at their blog, and you will see that list there. Full disclaimer, nobody pays us to use or review products. We list everything that we use on a daily basis that we've chosen because it makes our life easier. If there's something that we use that didn't work out as expected, we are here to tell you all about it, give honest reviews. The most you might get is if you visit our show notes, you might find the odd link here to Amazon that gives us a very, very small commission if you choose to purchase that item through Amazon. And that's like, you know, cents, like literally like 11 cents we might get from a purchase off of Amazon. And that goes towards our website fees so that we can keep bringing you information. But we are certainly not paid. We are not endorsed in any way. We just want to share our love of the RV lifestyle and, you know, teach you what we've learned along the way and hope you get some value out of it. So that's the scoop on poop, I guess. And as promised, we're going to get to our campground review of Selkirk Provincial Park. We spent the better part of last week there, 6 nights on the shores of Lake Erie. And we have a couple of thoughts about the park, its setup, its location and whatnot. So take it away, Dan.
Yeah, so I think probably for me, one of the enjoyable parts was that it's a good park for free range kids. So if your kids want to get on their bikes and go do a little bit of exploring or go down to a field and throw a football or just horse around, there's lots of room for them to do that. And not far from your campsite. The campsites, I thought, were nice and spacious in many cases.
Not too private, though.
Yeah, not too private, but lots of space to, you know, get your ladder ball out and spread things out and, and have a little bit of fun if you're just going to hang around and barbecue and ride your bikes and do that kind of thing. One of the big features I really loved, bit of a nice surprise when we got there, is the electrical sites all had a water hookup. So there was no trying to top off your fresh water. You just hooked up right to the water when you got there. That was a nice little surprise that's not very common in provincial parks.
Definitely. A couple of technical notes on amenities and whatnot. The park is fairly small. There's about 151 sites, I believe, and two group camping sites, which of course are closed at this time for COVID. But I was really impressed, you know, the day use section of the park, which is the kind of the picnic area. There were no shelters, but there were a lot of charcoal barbecues and picnic tables out just right at the edge of the lake, which was really pretty and gave a lot of room for families to spread out and to accommodate a lot of people in the day use or picnic area, which was nice to have. The playground was typical campground playground, but probably larger than some we've seen, which was awesome. The size of the park, however, there is only one comfort station / laundry / shower building in the park, which was right in our area. We were pretty much a kitty corner to that comfort station, which during COVID, the showers are closed and the laundry are closed, which meant that it wasn't crazy busy, but I can certainly see if you were there during normal times on a long weekend, you would probably have a very long wait for showers, laundry, that type of thing. So that's something that I would note if you were going through a busy season. The rest of the facilities in the park are drop toilets. That's always something we like to keep an eye on.
Yeah, a couple things also I noticed when we arrived. These are really big and spacious sites, and it's a typical loop type system that's got one-way drive to go down the road. Half of the sites, or maybe not quite half, a good chunk of those sites are not angled in such a fashion that you can back in if you were to drive down that road in the direction of travel as they intended it. So
it's almost like the sites were, or the loop was reversed at some point.
Yeah. And so what I would suggest is if you're going to arrive there, pull in, have a good look at your site and really think about how you want to pull in. Because in some of these sites, if you pull in, follow the one-way direction of travel and back in, your door is going to open out into the bushes and your tip out's going to be pointed at the campfire. So what we actually ended up having to do, and a number of people did this on other sites, is they actually drove straight in with the truck first, dropped the trailer, and then took the truck back out of the campsite. Now, you just have to be confident about how good you are at moving your trailer around. I think it worked out pretty well for us, but
our site was wide enough, definitely, that we could kind of pull out in a U format. Like, getting in is half the problem, but you need to think carefully about how you're going to exit the site without causing a big ruckus in the park.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I noticed. I think the other thing is some of the day trips in the area. You can go down to Port Dover. I think for our day at the beach, we decided to go into Turkey Point instead, which is about 40 minutes away. It's a nice long beach,
which is also a provincial campground beach. If you are staying as a guest of a provincial park, your park entry for your campground will allow you day access to other provincial parks in the area. So that was great for us to head down to the beach in Turkey Point, but definitely worth it if you're looking for just a really nice long stretch of sand beach.
Yeah, I think what I would also tell you is if you come into Turkey Point and you see the beach in front of you, that's generally where most people tend to congregate. However, that beach probably goes for a couple of kilometers. And if you go to the west end of town in Turkey Point, you can get on the same beach with fewer people around you. It's the same sand. And I don't think we were more than 20 or 30 feet from anybody else. There was lots of room to distance out. But what I will tell you is if you're accustomed to the waters of Lake Huron in Inverhuron and McGregor, these are not necessarily the same waters that you would be accustomed to on Lake Erie. And you might want to just pick your spot that you're going to swim in, because there is a little bit of...
It's a little squidgy in the toes as you first get into the lake. Now, Selkirk does have a small swimming beach, very small. There is no lifeguard on duty. It's quite pebbly, but after maybe 25 meters or so, it does turn into sand. But we did notice when we were there, the girls did swim there one evening and really enjoyed a night swim. The lake was really calm there. But I did notice in the morning when we went down, there is a very, very large pack of Canada geese that like to congregate on the swimming beach. So something to be aware of is their droppings and trying to avoid that on the beach. But I mean, the water was good. Isla definitely was really impressed with the availability of skipping stones. She learned how to skip stones, which was a very big deal for her at Selkirk. There is one small loop trail, which was, I don't know, about 1.5 kilometers.
Yeah, about 1.5 kilometers, maybe a mile. Hey, listen, folks, I think this is probably a really good park if you want to show up and bring a ball and some ladder ball and bring your bikes and let the kids ride around and do that kind of thing. You'll definitely get a chance to stretch your legs and do a lot of different stuff and enjoy yourself and not have to go too far to do that. You can leave right from your campsite on your bicycle, or if you want to walk down to the trail, if you feel up to it, it's just another 5-10 minutes to get to that trail and take a nice easy walk. walk and probably really good for younger kids as well, I think, at that park.
Mm-hmm. And Selkirk Village, which is a tiny, tiny village, but it's only about 2.5 kilometers away. They do have a small grocery store and LCBO outlet if you need some essentials, because the park store is quite small, but they do have basic first aid supplies and s'more kits and ice cream and whatnot, which is great. But we do have a full trip review and trip guide and campground review on our website. So that's rvconnects.com. Just go to the blog and you can read all about it. You can see pictures from our trip as well as some of the specifics about the park and the area. So head over to the blog and check that out. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please, please subscribe to the podcast. The more subscriptions we get, the more people see us. And if you've really enjoyed the show, give us a thumbs up, reach out on Instagram or on our blog and let us know how you like the show. And we will see you next week when we talk about our favorite RV apps that helped us navigate North America. See you then.
See you then, folks.